Welcome, everyone. Come on up. The second Sunday of Easter, and we have all these kids. This is awesome. Come on up. We saved a seat for you. Oh, and more. This is great. Come on up. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about owies. Do you ever get an owie? Did you ever fall down and skin your elbow or your knee? Did that ever happen to you? Never happened. I'm the only one that happened to. Of course, it's happened to you before. Have you ever cut your finger on something? Didn't mean to, just happened, right? And what did mom do? Kiss the boo-boo, right? Maybe gave you a bandage and maybe some medicine, right, that helps you, right? I've had that too before. But you know what's so amazing? God actually has given us bodies that heal. They heal so like it never happened. Like that owie, that skinned elbow or that skinned knee, you can barely even remember it. And that's a good thing, because when you get it to be an adult, imagine how scary our bodies would look if we would have all of those reminders. Oh, and you know what? They don't hurt anymore. But sometimes if you really get a deep wound, it'll leave something called a scar. If you take a look at my in my hand, I have a scar like that when I was 4 years old. I still have the owie that's from. It doesn't hurt. It's just a reminder to me I've got to be a lot more careful. Well, in our reading for today, our Bible reading that I'm going to be preaching on with the sermon, you're going to hear about Thomas got to see Jesus, and he had not always because he fell down. What did Jesus have on his body on Good Friday that they put on Jesus' hands and his feet? Do you know what were there? What were there? Nails, right? Because they wanted to hurt Jesus. They wanted to kill him. And the reason that happened is because Jesus died on that cross to save us from our sins. Jesus wasn't being klutzy or clumsy. He was being loving towards you and me. But you know what makes it so amazing? When Jesus rose from the dead, he could have chosen to have a perfect body. When you and I rise from the dead, and that's what Easter tells us, we're going to rise from the dead someday. We're going to have perfect bodies. You're not going to have any evidence that there's any owies that ever happened. But when Jesus rose from the dead, his body could go through doors. His body still had the nail marks, but they had a nail mark for a reason. Do you know why Jesus kept those nail marks? To prove it was him. To prove that our sins are forgiven. The Bible says by his wounds we are healed. Because Jesus lives, we are forgiven. And do you think that's a pretty good reason to celebrate? That we're forgiven? Yeah. So the next time you have an owie, I hope you think about Jesus' owie, because those are his marks of love for us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you for showing yourself alive with the scars of your love. Thank you for doing that for Thomas and for us. Bless us, Lord, and help us always praise you for giving us bodies that heal and for giving us your body which forgives us. Amen. Christ is risen. God loves that beautiful confession from your lips. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to us today because Jesus lives. Amen. The Word of God I'd like to share with you is the appointed gospel lesson for the second Sunday of Easter, John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. We're going to hear an appearance of Jesus. Easter gives us second chances. Praise God for that. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, translated a twin, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Dear Christian friends, still enjoying the Easter victory, Americans are fascinated with second chances. And who doesn't want a second chance at glory? We like second chance sweepstakes, don't we? The chance to turn a losing ticket into a winner. We like second chance medical equipment, like a pacemaker that gives a second chance at life. If my father-in-law wouldn't have had a pacemaker, he wouldn't be alive today. Praise God for all of those medical advances. Sometimes God gives us a second chance. Sometimes he doesn't. Really, the word chance is a misnomer. It's often understood random or lucky. Have you ever said good luck to somebody? Well, I don't think you were trying to be a pagan, but maybe saying good luck isn't quite what we mean. What we really mean to say is God bless you. I'm not going to criticize you if you say good luck, but think about how clear we can be. Truly, I think we can understand second chances is second opportunities to believe and follow the Lord. The key is what we do with those new opportunities or second chances. Think of the most famous president we've ever had. Who would you say? Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln is also pointed to as one of the greatest presidents ever, but did you know he lost elections 7 straight times? His businesses, almost all of them failed. I mean, we often put that guy on Mount Rushmore, but what happened? Well, when he had some doubts about himself or about his abilities, he didn't quit. He just kept going. Or I think about the greatest basketball ever to play, Michael Jordan, right? Oh, I know some people might hear say LeBron James. I've seen them both play in person. For my money, Michael Jordan has to be it. I mean, amazing what that man could do. But did you know that he was cut by his junior varsity basketball coach because he didn't have the skills in junior varsity? Michael could have said, "You know what? I'm just not good enough. I quit. It's over." He didn't give in to those doubts, and the rest is sports history. If second chances are important in the sports world or political world, can't we also apply it to our lives as Christians? Well, God's been given his grace or second chances for people since the beginning of time. Think about Adam and Eve, right? After they blew it, defied God, disobeyed him, plunging our world into sin, now sin that you and I breaks us today and that we have to deal with. God could have wiped Adam and Eve out and started over. He didn't do that. Why? Because God loved them. God gave them a second chance. Or we think about Jonah, right? The prophet Jonah, God told him, "Go to Nineveh," which was over here. But Jonah didn't believe the people of Nineveh deserved a second chance to repent. And so he went as far away from Nineveh as you could. What did God do? Strike him dead? No. God just allowed the winds to blow, a big fish to swim, and the rest is history. Well, in our reading, God also gave a disciple named Thomas a second chance. I like Thomas, don't you? I like Thomas, well, because it's my middle name. And because also he's Didymus. he's a twin, and I think many of you know that I have twin children, a boy and a girl. But that's not the reason I like Thomas. I like Thomas because I can relate to him a little bit too easily. I like the fact that when Thomas was given a second chance, he put aside his doubts and by the power of the Holy Spirit confessed one of the most beautiful confessions of faith ever. He said about Jesus, "My Lord and my God." We will be blessed if we respond to Jesus the same way. History records Thomas as what? Doubting Thomas. That's not quite right, and honestly, I don't believe that's very fair. Yes, Thomas doubted here. It's true. But doubt wasn't his way of life. It was a momentary response. And I believe Thomas learned from his mistake. Doubt was not his way of life. Before we get too pious to put Thomas in our hall of shame, let's take a little look in the mirror this morning, shall we? Have you ever had doubts about God? Have you ever wondered, God, I know you allowed this big bad thing to happen to me, and God, I don't know if I can trust you. Have you ever felt that way? Of course. Maybe it was something small, maybe it was big, but all of us have had doubts just like Thomas. So what do you do when you have doubts? I submit that you run to the scriptures, run to the evidence in the Bible, and run to Easter. Because as we take a closer look at the words of John chapter 20 this morning, we're going to have more than enough evidence that Easter gives us a second chance. Easter gives us a second chance to learn from doubt and to live the Christian faith. Our sermon reading begins this way. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Well, the way our sermon reading starts out, you know the time frame, don't you? It was Easter evening. Jesus, in the morning, the women at the tomb found out for themselves there was no body in that tomb. Christ is risen. You're paying attention, thank you. Jesus rose from the dead. The women at the tomb saw the proof. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they saw Jesus alive. And now the disciples, they saw it too. The Bible says, wow, it was Easter evening and the disciples were now behind locked doors. Why? Well, the disciples figured that if the Jews and the Romans weren't afraid to kill Jesus, they were next on the list. Oh, those locked doors kept their enemies out, but fear and worry, all of that was kept locked in. Suddenly, Jesus appeared to them, gave them a second chance, gave them reason to put their faith in Christ, that he is the risen Son of God. His death paid for their sins. They couldn't but admit he's alive. And that proof helped them, not only that day, that proof that day helps me and you today, because we're only one witness away from the risen Christ, and we need that confidence to believe. Well, they saw Jesus alive in the flesh, but there was someone missing. That someone was Thomas. Thomas missed out on this resurrection appearance, but God gave Thomas a second chance. So how did Thomas respond that day to the resurrection? Well, Scripture is very clear. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it." You could say that Thomas was from the state of Missouri, the Show Me state. This news was too good to be true. Look at it this way. Really, what Thomas was saying is, guys, we loved him. This just can't be true. My heart was broken on Good Friday. I saw Jesus dead. I can't have my heart broken again. It's just too much. I'm not trying to excuse his behavior, I'm just trying to explain it. Thomas was just being human. He was being rational. Ask anyone, when they die, they don't come back to life, especially 3 days later. Thomas knew who put those holes in Jesus' hands, feet, and side. The Roman soldiers did. And so he did the one thing that any of us would do. He doubted. And Thomas wanted proof, proof that he could see with his own eyes, proof on his own terms. And that, my friends, was Thomas's biggest problem. Thomas was showing his weakness and his sin, and he almost missed out on the miracle of Easter. Yes, we doubt God's love. When bad things happen to me, I wished I could tell you every single time. I say, God, you know what you're doing. Oh, believe me, I get there. Sometimes it takes a little while. Am I the only one? Of course not. No, on our currency it even says, in God we trust, but do we? Do we take God at his word, like with the faith of a child? Doubt is a rather human response. This side of eternity, it might surprise you to know that your Christian faith and mine is not always going to be perfect. We all likely will have a doubt or two. But here's the point. Having doubt isn't a sin. It's just a natural human response. But remaining in doubt, now that's the problem. Remaining in doubt will very well lead to sin as we demand proof on our own terms, like Thomas. Satan has always used doubt as a weapon. In the Garden of Eden, Satan used doubt with Eve, and remember, she was perfect, not like us. And what did he say? Did God really say you must not eat from the forbidden tree? He tried to fool her with doubt. But instead of comparing what Satan was saying with what God had told her, what did she do? She allowed those doubts to linger. She believed what Satan was saying more than what God was saying, and that doubt led to rejection and finally disobedience. How often haven't we done that? But Easter, Easter gives us a second chance. You and I need to take our doubts, our sins, our worries to the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus has proof that we're forgiven. He shows us his hands, his feet. He shows us those scars. He shows those marks of love for you and me. How Jesus was willing to suffer, to die, to pay for all of our doubts, all of our worries, and all of our sins. And now when we hold on to the promises of God, you and I don't need to have to rely on our human senses. Well, there's a saying and a meme that says, God said it, that settles it, I believe it. If God says something to us in his holy word, that settles it. I don't have to wait to believe it. It settles it. God wants us to believe, and so we do. God never asks us to understand his way of doing things. We can't. How could we? God is perfect. We're not. But God does say, believe him. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Believe that if he solved our greatest problem of sin, he'll solve any problem that we have. Maybe not to the way we want it to, but the way it's supposed to go. Martin Luther once said, I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from making a nest in my hair. He was talking about doubt. He was saying about doubt and temptation, it's going to happen this side of eternity. I can't stop it. But what I can do is not let it control my life. Yes, we can keep those doubts from destroying our faith by returning to God's promises in his word and sacrament. Listen to how Jesus helped Thomas. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Seriously, how big would you feel if you were Thomas right about now? Jesus walks right up to you and says, "Really? I'd feel like about this big." But Jesus didn't do that to embarrass him. He did it to impress upon him and us, stop doubting. Jesus knows what he's doing. He knew what he was doing on the cross. He knows what he's doing in April 2026. You and I, stop doubting and believe. Yes, even though Thomas doubted, Jesus gave him a second chance. And how did Thomas respond this time? You've already heard it. He said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas lived his Easter faith. And oh no, Thomas didn't stop there. History records Thomas as following Jesus a little bit closer each day. Why, history even records him, and tradition says that Thomas not only was willing to be martyred for his faith, he was willing to go all the way to India to tell as many people as he could that Jesus is alive. Yes, Thomas doubted in our Bible reading, but he didn't let those doubts stop him from living a Christian faith. Easter changes you and me the same way. I know there are times I would like Jesus a little closer. I'd like to hear his voice, see his smile, hear his words of comfort. But Jesus has a better plan for me and for you. He's given us his word and his sacrament, and to remind us he's always there till the end of the age. And that makes a difference and causes us to live our Easter faith. Love for Jesus drove Thomas around the world. Will it drive us to our Bibles, holding on to his promises? Yes, Easter gives us a second chance, but there's one more point. God has never promised us more time. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." In other words, God tells you and me to learn more about him today, to confess his name today, to give to him generously today, to invite others in our lives that they too might know that Jesus lives today. He's never promised us a tomorrow. So now is the time. Here is the place. Let Easter change you. You and I have been given a second chance. Praise God. Amen.